have your seats. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Don't do guesswork here. Hallelujah. No guesswork here. We are only burning. Amen. Amen. No guesswork here. We are only what? Burning. Are we together? Week in, week out, prayer meetings. We are only what? Burning. When we have services on Sundays, and the cell is back in the evening for prayer meeting, we are only what? Burning. Is it clear? Is it clear? Evangelism on Saturday morning for 3-4 hours. Then we are back in the evening for follow-up to help those who have received the word to grow and be in service on Sunday morning. We are not wasting our time. We are only what? Burning. Is it clear, church? You must have the right words for it. I told you that the world has a description for the things of God. The world. When you give your money to the Lord, the world will say, "Why are you wasting it?" Are we together? So you must know what you are doing. I'm not wasting my money. I am only what? Burning. Someone say, burn. Open your mouth, music team. Say, burn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say, burning. Someone say, burning. That's it. Said he should do something in the office. He said, "No, I don't do this." Nah. But that's what everybody is doing. "No, me, I cannot do this." He said, "Oh, you are SU. Well, whatever you like to say, I am simply what? Burning." When flames are burning, it is palpable. Is it clear? Is it clear? On the day of the Pentecost, he says, "They appeared unto them," right? "They appeared unto them what? Cloven tongues as of what? Fire." Are we together? They had a supernatural sight of what was happening in the spirit. He said, "Cloven tongues." Have you seen that when fire is burning, it's not settled, it's burning. there is, that's it. There is no burning Christian. Are we together? Sit down. Look at in Acts 10, he says, how God anointed Jesus with what? With the Holy Ghost. We can also say how we anointed Jesus with fire. Are we together? And he did what? He went what? About. When there is fire, you don't sit on the spot. Is it clear? It's not only fire that is in motion. Fire also sets on motion. Did you notice that when a jet is sent into the orbit? Are we together? When they send a jet, a spaceship, into the space, are we together? You notice that what sent it out is what? It's fire. So it is natural for a Christian, are we together, to be what? To be burning. Is it clear? That's it. It is natural that a Christian on Sunday morning, you are in the church service. That is the normal thing. Otherwise, it's abnormal. You see, when he says he went about, that text in Acts 10:38, and he went about, he was a summary of many texts in the four Gospels. You read in this chapter, before you move 2-3 chapters, you hear again, Jesus went about all their cities. In another 4 chapters, all their cities. In another, and he has preached about in all the cities of the. In another few chapters, all about their city. That is the fire of the Holy Ghost. Is it clear? When he got into the temple, look at what happened. He got into the temple and he saw men exchanging, gifts, buying and selling at the temple. In the temple, look at what he did. Bible said he prepares couches and a floor. He overthrew the tables of the money changers. And when the apostles saw it, they said, "It is the zeal of us of the Lord." The zeal of the Lord. Are we together? We're building a church characterized with the zeal of the Holy Ghost. And zeal is not age determined. No, it is not age.
Are we together? It is not age. You see, Jesus in his 30s. It is not age. It's not age. You look at Abraham. When the instruction of God came to Abraham to offer a child, the Bible said very early what? In the morning. That means before daybreak, he went out to worship God. Before daybreak. Before daybreak, he got up to worship. Before daybreak. And he was 100 years old. So zeal is not age. It has nothing to do with age. Is it clear? It has nothing to do with, oh, it's because you're on campus. No. It has nothing to do with when you're a student. No. Are we together? Age. It has nothing to do with age. The zeal of the Lord. We're building a church that is characterized with the fire and the flames of the Holy Ghost. The gifts of the Spirit in express flow. Hallelujah. God is building strong local churches. Hallelujah. We're going to see a lot of that at Kamit. Are we together? We're going to see a lot of that at Kamit. We prayed yesterday, right? Workers Fellowship yesterday, we prayed. We prayed for the revelation of God's plan through Kamit. Yeah. We prayed for the growth of God's word. We prayed that we'll be much more stable in God's plan for our lives and our ministries and our relationships and our associations and businesses and careers and our families, standing perfect and complete in the will of God as a result of In Christ Discipleship Committee. Be there. Are we together? And the best way to be at the camp meeting is to treat it as a camp meeting. That means it is a camp meeting. That means we are in camp. So you have to be at the campground. Are we together? I didn't just show up there. I said you camp with them. You stay there. You stay there. What are you doing? You are fanning to flame. And it can take days. You fan to flame. Then you go out. Jesus went somewhere for how many days? 40 days. So it is not bad to go somewhere for 40 days. Don't say, how then do we go about our natural activities? I told you severally, we don't take a break from the natural to attend to the supernatural. No, we take break from the supernatural to attend to natural things. It means even when you are in your home, going to school, doing all that you do, you must maintain a supernatural atmosphere. Because that is who you are. I am supernatural. Glory to God forevermore. So at camp meeting, we are fired up. We're expectant. We are hopeful. We are full of trust. We trust the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. All right, let's do something quickly this morning. Let's look at God's word. We thank you we receive revelation. In the name and the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask that your word comes clear to us. The gift of meetings. We will grow greater appreciation of the gift of meetings. Yes, even as we receive community in a few days' time, we receive hearts. As your word says, it is you give to Saul a different heart. We receive a heart, or we receive hearts full of desires through your word. Your word walking in our minds, Lord. Your word walking in our thoughts. Your word reconditioning our minds and our hearts to become useful grounds, soil for the growth of the seed of your word. We have this morning. And all that needs to be said will be said, and all that needs to be heard, receive your walking, will be heard, will be received, will be walked in. We asked, just as there's no error in the teaching, there will be no error in our understanding. But every man together as a church with open eyes will be, O Jesus, and as we see him, we see ourselves as Jesus in him. We ask this morning, with strength your will, your word will proceed forth. We will understand, we will gain insight, we will be smarter, but much more intelligent. We will be aware not only of where you are, but of what you're doing, and not only of what you're doing, but of how we ought to participate in all that you're doing in our lives, in our church, in ourselves, in our community, in our nation, and in the nations of the earth. We receive this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 is my text this morning. Amen. And Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have Jesus' instruction. You know, Jesus spoke to the apostles, the disciples, who are now called apostles. He says, to go make disciples. Hallelujah. To go make disciples. Amen. So we're looking at Christian meetings. Hallelujah. We're looking at Christian meetings. Amen. Meaning, car meeting is just ahead of us. I told us, having a car meeting within this auditorium, this will be the 10th meeting, and then we're lodging within this vicinity. So ensure you're prepared, ensure you set your heart, ensure you clear your schedule. Car meeting is worth taking a break from work from. I know people take break or leave from work to go on vacation. People take leave or break from work to take their families on clean festivity, vacations and all of that. People take sick leave, right? Alright, and sometimes the sick leave is not really sick leave, it's just a sick leave. Are we together? I mean, you just want to catch up on your health, your mental health, and someone took a sick leave sometimes. They say, why did you take a sick leave? You are not sick. He says, sir, I am not feeling fine. Say, where? I say, in my mind. I say, alright. So it's a mental sick leave. And that's okay, praise God. So far you are entitled to it, and when you get back, you get refreshed. Are we together? So camp meetings are like that also. Amen? They are like that also. So we get back into the mystery mode for the year much more refreshed. Hallelujah. Obviously, I'll be teaching. Amen. In camp meeting. Some say Jesus will be ministering. I'll be teaching in camp meeting. Praise God. And then we're going to also receive the ministry of one another. The best way to explain or describe the annual discipleship camp meeting is to be there. Are we together? And I told you, I think I said this in a more closed session than this, the church service. I said, in Christ the Bishop Camp Meeting is a local church conference, because God is set to build strong churches through the camp meeting. Praise God. So if you want to find out what we are doing in our church, why we are doing it, the motive, the purpose, the drive, what is our goal, you will get a great deal of it at camp meeting. Praise God. It's a combined meetings. We pray, we teach, we receive the things of the Spirit, we fellowship together, we also eat. So we're not fasting. Are we together? Alright, we also eat, drink, we also sleep, so we're not fasting from sleep. Are we together? It's a camp meeting. I'm saying that because some of us be our first camp meeting this year. We're glad for that. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. So we're looking at meetings. He says to go and make disciples. Then he says, lo, I am with you. So we have said that there is no doubt, there is no ambiguity as touching where Jesus is or where God is. God is in his churches or in the church. Jesus Christ is in the church or in the churches. I say that to mean the same thing. Now I said, as a disciple, you know, he says in Matthew 28, go make disciples. So as a disciple, awareness is your basic characteristic. Someone say awareness. So I must be aware. Are we together? So do you have a Bible? Do we have Bibles? Ensure everybody has that. If you don't have a Bible, can you just signify? I'm not talking about a phone app, a phone application. I'm talking about a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, just wave your hand. All right, thank you. Let's give out a Bible there. All right, good. So that's better. Amen. Any other person? You don't have a Bible? No other person. All right. The best way to prepare for services, amidst other things, amidst arriving early and doing all of that, is also show up with your Bible. You know, when you show up with your Bible, we are convinced you know where you were going. Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, the best way to show somebody else, this is not you, this is not God, but the best way to show that you know where, that you know that you are going to church is that you're holding the Bible. Right? Right? I mean, imagine you get up from your room and then you pick a Bible. The first thing that comes to the mind of whosoever sees you is that it's a church related, right, activity or meeting. Praise God. You go into your botany or biology classes and then you go with your practical manners, isn't it? I remember my 100-200 level, that was 2011. We go into, I remember this Father Folio lab, University of Badon. Which one? University of Badon here? I'm alone here. Oh God, send someone. Alright. there's this laboratory, chemistry laboratory, we call it Father Folio lab. I remember the lecturers. By the time if you come to Father Folio lab, we used to do titrations and all sort of chemical, you know, we're science students. Not the one in the song, though, I mean. But we're also missing chemicals, you know. So you'll get into the lab. If you didn't come with a manual, you stay outside. You stay outside. Are we together? You stay outside. How many of you had similar experiences? You've had similar experiences. You didn't come with the manual. Stay outside. Alright. But you know, it's somehow if we say you didn't come with your Bible, stay outside. Hey, what else? Alright, so we have Bibles. But don't depend on the fact that the church gives you Bible. Are we together? You come with Bibles. If you come with a Bible, then the ones we have will go around. Are we together? All right. Praise the Lord. And don't expect us to project scriptures. Those who project scriptures in their church services are wrong. Yes. It is not what I feel. It is what the Bible teaches. Is it wrong to project scriptures? No. But we can project scriptures in an evangelistic kind of meeting where we expect non-Christians to be present. Are we together? We're having a crusade. We're having an outdoor program, and we know that some people don't even know there's a book called Bible. Well, though, I'm going to ask where you're from. Are you from a cave? Are we together? You know, maybe a 100-year-old cave. And then you come around, and then we can project the Bible. I mean, we project scriptures, so project it so that people can read. But if it's a church service where we are coming together to worship the Lord, to learn the Lord as a church meeting, you don't come in expect Bible text to be projected. It is wrong. I remember some about 6 to 8 years ago, I was in a meeting like that. It was quite a large meeting. I was privileged to minister there. And so I was talking about, like, I was just teaching, and then I had to mention something around services, church services being live streamed, you know. So and then I said something about church service being live streamed. I was just teaching God's word. I just mentioned it. I was talking about it elaborately. I just mentioned it. And then I think after the meeting, so one of the conveners of the meeting, an elderly person, now reached out to me. I left the city there. I had to travel outside the city to go and preach. So I left, and then one of the conveners now called me and says, "Oh, that thing you said about streaming live services, he actually called to tell me that he agreed with what I said. Even though majority of the people who were preachers, I mean, it was an assembly, there were a lot of canned people there, I mean, leaders of churches and all that, yeah, was just a one-time preaching." And then he said, "No, that majority of them did not agree." And I said, "Well, I just said, well, you said you agree. I'm not going to not say that because they don't agree. And I'm not going to say that next time because you agree. God's word is irrespective of whether you agree or not.
Are we together?
The word of God is the word of God. You don't have to agree with God's word. The fact that you agree with it is not what will make it the word of God. Is it clear? It is the word of God. So I was talking about live streaming services. I mean, imagine on a Sunday morning, we all are here, and then we are live streaming our services. It doesn't mean that we don't have the technology to live stream. But in our church, we don't live stream services. We don't. Because it is wrong. Are we together? I'm not saying live streaming church services is wrong. I mean, on a Sunday morning like this, then we live stream services broadcast. So what should happen to Christians if all should go to church? Are we together? Are you listening to me? Yeah. All Christians on Sunday morning should what? Go to church. Did you see that? So if we live stream services, we live stream, for who? If what we teach, what we believe, is that on Sunday morning a Christian should not be in the home, who are you live streaming for? Did you see that? Except, now listen to this carefully, except your live streaming is meant as an outreach. That means our focus is on people who cannot be in the what? In the church meeting, not because they are lazy or they choose not to, but because they are stranded or handicapped. So it's okay when the target of our live stream are people in prison. Is it clear? The target of our live stream are probably people on their hospital beds. That makes sense. People who are held down for one reason or the other, legitimate reasons why they can't be in the church. So ministries that live stream their services, especially on Sunday morning, are we together? What is the motive? So if what we are teaching is that Christians should be in the services. Now, I know even said everybody should come to our church. But I mean, everybody should be in their churches. Should be in their churches. Receiving the word of God and being taught. Nobody gets discipled via the internet. No. I think it was Gloria Copeland. That's the wife of Kenneth Copeland. He said, the U.S. Army is not trained on the internet, virtually, remotely. The U.S. Marine. The Marine is, I think, one of the strictest sects of the U.S. military. He says, they are not trained what? Remotely. Are we together? You have to be on the training ground. Right? You have to be there. You don't train soldiers remotely. Imagine a doctor that was trained remotely. A doctor that is trained remotely. A doctor. You say, don't worry. You say, it's my first time for the procedure. You say, okay, how many successful procedures have you had? Actually, it's my first time. Oh, who trained you? I watched YouTube video. Are we together? See, I've watched enough YouTube videos. This side, is it not this tissue that is there? And I'll just cut it like, have you done one before? No. So, where did you gain your experience? I watch it online now. You are good? The sick person will just get you immediately. Yeah. Doctor, I am meeting you. Are we together? Alright, so, nothing that is crucial is subjected to comfort or convenience. Nothing. So it's okay to, you know, sometimes, you know, you cannot record services and then you just transmit it much more later. Now, I'm talking about on Sunday morning, and then, you know, on Sunday morning, where everyone ought to be, and then, Jerusalem. Does it build strong Christians? Does it build strong Christians? You know, we have to ask such questions. It's not just about we can do it. What's the fruit? You understand? What is the fruit of doing? So the same thing we project in scriptures. What's the fruit? What's the fruit? I was telling someone sometime ago, I said in our church, we don't have a department, a special department called evangelism department. I said, we don't have. He says, why? I said, how? Why should the church have a special evangelism department? Why? It's okay to have a group, are we together, that oversees the evangelistic activities of a church. You get it? But saying that this is the evangelism department, they are the ones that go on evangelism. Why? How? It's like a church that has prayer department. How? How will a church have a special unit called prayer unit? And that's the unit that prays. How? It will be strange to the apostles. Such kind of a church is going to be strange. Because in the scriptures, all the church what? Pray. Through the book of Acts, it says they all lifted up their voices, right? And pray. Acts 2, all were praying. Acts 1, all were praying. Acts 3, they all at the time of prayer. Acts 4, all prayed. Are we together? Acts 6, we'll give ourselves to prayer, the whole church. Are we together? Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 11. By Acts 12, all were praying. Glory to God forevermore. Romans 15:30, the instructions to pray was to the churches. Romans 15:30. Colossians 4, verse 2, to the churches to pray. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2, the old churches should pray. The old churches, 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4, the old church should pray. The old church. Are we together? What does that tell you? We have it on prayer. Ephesians 6:18. The whole church. The whole church. Philippians 4. It says, all of you worry about nothing but with what? Prayer and supplication. The whole church. 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 So part of being in church is to be in a prayer group. If you are not in a prayer group here, you are not a member of our church. Everybody knows that. Are we together? Today, you know, you have some places where membership is by card. You get a card. Once you have a card, you say you are a member of a church. No, you are not a member of a church by card. Oh, it's not by card. Are we together? Are we together? I am not in doubt whether my years, are a member of my body. Are we together? And that's why when there's something, you know, in the body, the doctors can say, let us take it out. Why? Because it is not a member of what? Of the body. Why is something not a member of the body? It does not give and receive. Because a member of a body supplies and what? Receives. Did you see that? My eyes, are they supplying my body? Because I can read the Bible this morning, supplying. It's supplying sight. If I'm on the road and, you know, a car is coming and coming close, I can hear the noise of a moving vehicle coming close. Those are my what? Yes. They are giving to me, right? Giving me information. That is what it means to be a member of the church. Are we together? It means you are supplying and you are also receiving nourishment. There's a giving and receiving, not on Sundays. In fact, the way to know the members of your church is not Sunday morning. It is not on Sunday morning that you know church members. It is the activities that builds the church during the week. Starting from prayer meeting. Then evangelism. That is how you know church members. Because it means that you are part of how the church is built. Spiritually through prayer, numerically through evangelism. And those are the two ways church is built. Spiritually and what? Numerically. Someone says spiritually and what? Numerically. Jesus, this church also grew that way. Are we together? By Mark 3, 4, 5, you see, there was a 12. Are we together? There was a 12. Then after a while, there was the 70 in Jesus' ministry. Then after a while, by the time he leaves, there was a what? The day of the what? Pentecost, there was a what? 120. Did you see that? Did you see that? And after the 120, there was a what? A 3,000 added. Then by Acts 3, there was a 5,000. Then by Acts 6, he says the number has multiplied. So there is also that numeric growth. It means you are contributing to it. Any individual who does not contribute to the numeric growth of the church and the spiritual strength of the church is not a member of the church. Is not. Praise God forevermore. Are we getting God's what? A member of the church. It's okay, it's fine to come around. It's okay, we see your face. Is he a member? Did you guys see that fellow? He's not a member of our church. You have a parameter. This person is a member. That one is not a member. That one has been coming around for 1 year. He's not a member. Coming around, being around for a year does not make you a member. Being around, coming around for 2 years does not make you a member of a church. And someone can be around for 2-3 months. Are we together? And that fellow is a member of a church. Or 4 months is a member of a church. Are we together? Because you are in it. Your heart is in it. You contribute. You receive. You see yourself in the family. You support. You supply. You receive. You give. You also receive. Part of being in church is receiving from the church. Is it clear? Is it clear? At least they came on you, but I said receiving from the church. You have to open your heart to receive from the church of God. Receive from the church of God. So we said that God is building what? Strong local churches. Talk about that more next in our camp meeting. Strong local churches. Those are strong local churches. Alright, let's look at what we have this morning. So he says to go and make what? Disciples. To go and make disciples. We've said, who is a disciple? A disciple is an adherent. A disciple is what? Adherent. Are we there? An adherent. An adherent means you are committed to something. That's what it means to be a disciple. Are we together? That's what it means to be a disciple. An adherent. You know, the word adherent is from the English word what? Adhere, right? To adhere to something. Right? What does it mean to adhere to something? Give me a synonym for it. To stick to something. You stick to something or you stick with something. It's the same. So to stick with something, that means you adhere to it, right? Right? Another synonym for adhere or adherence. To heed. Thank you. So a disciple is a heeder. What else? To pay attention to. That means that thing has your what? Your attention. Say, Jesus has my attention. That means you're a disciple of Jesus. What else? Synonyms. To stay with it. See, I stay with Jesus. See, I stay with Jesus. I'm looking at our faces. See, I stay with Jesus. What else? To focus on something, to adhere to it. What else? To comply with your compliance from your work. Those are the compliance people. Compliance. You must compliance with Nigerian. What's the new thing that they are passing? Are we together? She makes people comply. So you comply. Are we together? Compliance. Amen. So look at the different words that we have used. Does any of them sound like You just show up in church. Now, look at this. What is the opposite of compliance or a disciple? Look at this word. To be a fan. To be a fan. So, being a disciple is not the same as being a what? A fan. Say, I'm a fan. No, we are not fans of Jesus. Did you see that? We are not fans of Jesus. Some of you are fans of C. Ronaldo, CR7. Are we together? So that's why when he scores a goal, what do? You clap for him. No, we are not fans. We are disciples and worshippers. Look at this. A disciple is two things. I'll talk about it later. A disciple is a child and a lamb. Are we together? A child and a what? A lamb. A lamb. L-A-M-B. A lamb. Now, a child, because he or she can be taught. Is it clear? Say, I can be taught. Say, I can be taught. Say, I can be taught. Say, I am teachable. My heart can be taught of the Lord. So I can be taught. A child can be trained, can be taught. A lamb can be led. Are we together? Can be led. I'm open to be led by the Holy Ghost. I'm open to be led of the Word of God. Say thank you, Jesus, because I can be led. Thank you, Jesus, because I can be taught. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because I can be taught. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because I can be led. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because I can be led. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because I can be taught. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because I can be taught. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because I can be led. Some people cannot be led. Their heart is stone. The Bible describes them. He calls them the children of disobedience who have rejected the gospel. They cannot know God. They don't have eternal life. They don't have eternal life. I have eternal life. Praise God. They don't know God. They can't know Him. They don't know what it feels to be saved. They don't know. They don't know. Now sometimes I'm a little bit concerned when I see Christians who also look like they don't know either. And I'm like, who are you? The Bible called them sheep without what? Shepherd. Those kind of Christians. Sheep without shepherd. That is why God wants us to also take responsibility for them. So as we go to reach the world and get people saved, we will also miss the saved who does not know what it means to be what? To be saved. We take responsibility for them too. We bring them into the sheepfold and teach them. Because as a Christian, you must be taught. Tell your neighbor, say, you must be taught. We teach them. That is what community is meant for. To show you why we're doing what we're doing. These other people be in church. They say, I don't understand this church. I don't understand this church. Why don't they dance? They say, maybe it's their church doctrine that makes them not to dance. No, you are getting it wrong. So say, hey, why is it that, you know, pastor has not called people that have tithe to bring their tithe?
You're getting it wrong. We give in this church more than people that pay their tithes. Is it clear?
You all know now.
Tithes.
God gave you all the things He gave you. It's 10% you have for Him. The person that taught the tithe system and instructed the people of God to give tithes was in a bid to show them how stingy they are. You know, the issue with the church today is that we have turned the whole thing upside down. The man that instructed the tithe was to show the people that you are a stingy generation of people. So therefore, give at least 10%. The believer has a generous heart. In the book of Acts, they were practicing 100%. 50%. In the book of Acts. In the book of Acts. Because the Spirit of God has now come to live in the heart of everyone. Did you see that? Did you see that? And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came so that the Spirit of God can be in the heart of as many people as possible. Obviously, the Spirit of God dwelled in people before Christ came. Are we together? But the death and the resurrection of Jesus increases the people who can now receive the Spirit of God in their heart. It multiplies that tendency over and over. Ensures that the loophole for destruction is closed off. So people don't just get close to God by chances, as was happening in the Old Testament. By chances. So the Gentile world and the Gentile nations were locked up. Because people were being trained into idol worship, trained into all sort of things. Just like people today are trained into Islam by childbirth. Are we together? Well, I don't have such conversations, but someone said, oh, why is this religion the fastest growing religion in the world? I said, it's strategy. If you have a group of people that use childbirth as strategy, it will increase more. Are we together? Remove the childbirth and the coercive nature of you must take this religion. It's on the fall. Are we together? And the light of the gospel is on the increase. It's not competition though. Light doesn't compete with darkness. Remove that sporadic childbirth tool, use of childbirth, whatever, and take away this coercive form, manipulative form of you must take it. It's fastly crashing. Because the gospel is really being preached. If you have been on evangelism for the past 1 year, do you know how many people you have gotten born again? An average person in our church has gotten at least 100 to 200 to 300 to 400 to 500 people saved last year. In the last 1 year. An average person here. I know. Because I have the statistics. Are we together? So some people don't have the Spirit of God in their hearts. They don't know what it means to be born again. But we do. A disciple is a child. And a what? A lamb. So I'm aware. So we know where Jesus is, don't we? We also know what He is doing. So what is He doing? Jesus is building strong Christians. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Hallelujah. So look at what we've said. We said that the Exodus was to prefigure redemption. The Exodus was to prefigure salvation. Are we together? Then, upon the Exodus, you now started having what? God instructed them to hold what? Meeting. Did you see that? So the Exodus must lead to what? meetings. Now, what was the word for the meetings? We explore that word later, but we have done that severally in our church. The word mikra, right? Right? Don't forget the word kodesh is also there, right? A holy word, convocation. So, what we call the Christian meetings today, or put it in a different way, what we call the church service today is what God called it to Israel, holy what? Gatherings. And it was upon the Exodus. We said the Exodus prefigures what? The new birth. So it is very clear. It must be clear. And it must remain so. That what? The moment a man is born again, the next most vital thing he or she needs is what? The church service. Is it clear? Is it clear? It means that when someone is born again, the things he has received at salvation is applied where? 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 Is applied in the midst of other believers. Do you get it? Do you get it? It's applied in the midst of what? Other believers. The things I received at salvation is appropriated, is applied. What did I receive at salvation? Did I receive the spirit of love? Where do I apply it? Amongst people. The gifts of the Spirit, where do I apply it? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit what? Don't say amongst the people. So look at me, everybody. How do we know that you are born again? How? Amongst what? The people, amongst other believers. Are we together? Amongst what? Other believers. Now look at this, everyone. Look at this. I'm taking this from a note that I've not taught in church. The inner life series, about 80 sessions, pneumatology. Now look at this. The man who is born again, the new birth, is discovered and applied amongst what? People. Isn't it? Now I know we said amongst believers, we said amongst people. Now look at this. That means that. Look at this very critically. Look at this and hear this very critically. That means that, pay attention very critically. I won't explain, I'll just say it and I'll move away. Look at this. It means that your conduct ought to preach the gospel. Did you see that? Did you see that? Your conduct ought to what? Now, look at this again. When you come in the midst of other believers, you know it's easy. We are amongst one another. It's easy for me to know, for example, that this sister Bigwe, that she's born again, right? Right? Because I'm aware, I know she has desired faith in Christ. Right? Good. This Brian, it's easy for me to know he's born, he's a church member, now he's born again. I mean, I can answer publicly. If we get to another group or association of people, say, is he born again? I can answer because I know him. Now, I might not be able to answer for, I'm not pointing to these people, but I mean someone else. This is the wise pastor pointing this. Okay, where will I point to? I might not be able to answer to someone else. Ask him about someone else, right? But look at this. What if I get to a community where people don't know what the gospel means? The gospel ought to be in the conduct. Do you get it? I mean, what if I get to a community where people don't know what the gospel is? The way they will know what the gospel is that they will see what the gospel does. Are we together? To a man in me. Did you see that? They will see what the gospel does to a man. They will see it in me. If I get to a point where a place where they don't know what the gospel is, they don't know about God, they don't know about Jesus Christ, they don't know the formula of believe this message and get saved, how would they know? So how do we know a saved man? It is in his interactions. Is it clear? Because look at me, your faith is in you. Your faith is not seen. Your faith is not what? It's not seen. Your faith is not seen. I gotta look at it and say, he has faith. No. I know sometimes you look at someone and say, wow, this guy, maybe on evangelism, you look at someone and say, this guy was born again. Then you ask him, are you born again? Then he says, yes. Then I ask you, how did you know? And I say, I just felt it. It's a lie. It's not felt. Eternal life does not have a fragrance. I want you guys to say, peach apple plus, I don't even know if something like that. You see, anytime you smell peach apple plus some pineapple and vanilla kind of flavor mixed with onion. So that is how eternal life smells. But when you also smell some curry, the person is not using eternal life well. No. It's not smelled. Is experienced. It is what? So the new birth, the work of a ministry rather, is bringing people into the experience of what? Of the new birth. The woman looked at Jesus. He said, I perceive that you are what? A what? A prophet. That's an experience. I perceive. You look like someone who look like a messenger of a deity. He says yes. But not just a prophet. Are we together? He was the prophet and the reason for all the prophets. Are we here, church? Are we here, church? That's it. So, my conduct. Now, get back into the church. In the church of God, are mixed fellow believers. My conduct is out there. You know, they already know I'm born again. Right? Right? They already know. So, how do I portray? They already know that I'm born again. Now, if I lie, right? Will they be in doubt as to whether I'm born again? No, they already know I'm born again. Like in Ephesians 4, Paul had to tell the church, he says, now there was a brother in the church at Ephesus that was stealing.
So Paul says, tell him that stole to what? To steal no more. Right? Because he's born again, so he says, stop stealing, because you have the ability to stop stealing. Did the church knew that this guy is born again? Did you see that? But now, they all know I'm born again. But you see, in the church, how do I show that I am born again? My conduct. So the church, the saints, ought to experience salvation in my interaction with them. Is it clear? My interactions with the saved ought to help the saved to further experience what? Salvation. In my interaction with the saved, my interaction with the saved ought to what? Ought to what? Make the saints to experience what? Salvation. My interaction. Hallelujah. Always joyful. Is it clear? Is that salvation? Always in faith. Is that salvation? Always in faith. Is that salvation? Yeah. Just some minutes ago, I was at the hospital. I went on a hospital visit this morning. I was at the hospital, and then, you know, the persons I was going to see were inside the world, and it's a place where they don't allow people in. So as I got there, I just got down and I walked in. As I just greeted 1, 2, 3 people, then the woman just came and said, "Ah," he just beckoned on someone and said, "Ah, ejekonwole." So as I was going, I was hearing, "Ah, sure, the pastor the one." I said, "I don't know how." And it couldn't be the way I dressed. It's just by the time I got in, I just said, "Good morning, God bless you. How do you do?" That's the new birth. Are we together? We don't complain, we don't murmur. We speak faith. That's the new birth. When we talk, you can see a sign that God's kingdom is working, even if everything in the natural does not look fine. That's a Christian talking. Is it clear? The Christian doesn't talk, and then suddenly we feel like, we must run for our lives, though. It'd be like, say, Satan in control. No. No. That's not a Christian. Is it clear? That's not a Christian. A Christian is faithful. That is the experience of eternal life. A Christian. Someone say, why did you say sorry? That's a Christian. A Christian goes for reconciliation. A Christian goes for what? Reconciliation. So when we come together amongst ourselves, part of it is the gifts of the Spirit. Did you get it? In the church service, is the what? It's the gifts of the Spirit. Someone say gifts of the Spirit. Someone say gifts of the Spirit. That's it. Gifts of the Spirit. When we come together, we all have cells, right? If you are here, you don't have a cell meeting. You don't attend a cell meeting. You are not a member of our church. The church operates in cells. So imagine in your cell meeting, how do we know that you are a member of the church in the cell meeting? Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, I'm going to 26, but read verse 23. Your Bible, please. Your Bible. It's not a flower. Are we together? Use it. 1 Corinthians 14. Help someone by you to open it. And show someone has opened it. Hey, that's it. This is our church. This is exactly. Help someone to open it. This is church. And you know, I remember when we were very young. I was very young then. We used to do that. And then they call, they tell me, open it. Now we're looking around. When the man say, open the book of Ruth, we are opening it again. Haven't opened it, we now bring our Bible out like this. We open it. And this is me, I've opened my own. No. Help the other person to us to locate the book. Are we together? Help the person to flip. See that? It says Matthew. Alright, go to Matthew. Because sometimes we say Corinthians, the person will go to Chronicles. Are we together? And sometimes we say Nahum, the person will think we're asking a question. Nahum. Are we together? So you help. Is it clear, church? So 1 Corinthians 14. Now read 23 out loudly. Ensure the person next to you are hearing the person's voice. You are now reading the way I cannot even hear what you are reading again. Which I open my own. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. Everybody wants to go. How many speaks with tongues? How many? So, see, you know today people ask a question. Should all Christians speak in tongues? I don't answer the question again. I stopped answering that question about 6 years ago. Some people said, will I go to hell if I don't speak in tongues? Can't you say already there? Foolish question. Should all Christians speak in tongues? Should all Christians speak in tongues? Why are you asking that question? Because, see, oftentimes those who want to don't ask that question. Did you see that? I mean, those who are not yet speaking in tongues and desire it don't ask that question. So behind the question is a heart of despise and defiance for the instruction of God. God gave you a gift. You think it's a dummy? You need it. You need it. Are we together? You need it. You need to speak in tongues. Are we together? You open your mouth wide and speak in tongues. Satan, his heart goes shift. Want to think so? The demons will say, or more, be like say for the next 12 hours, we don't get work. But when you are speaking in tongues, this, what's the thing they used to put on the road? Men at work, know what? No access. So believers at work, no access to demons. Are we together? In 2026.
Yes.
You still have that question. 2026. Gaucho. Are we together? 1 Corinthians 14. But if our what? 23. If the what? Oh, church. I told you historically, this church was how many people? Historically, was an assembly of how many people? At least 23,000. Go and Google it. This church at Corinth. At least. Do we have 20,000 auditorium today, churches? I think we even have one at the SCT that is 100,000 seater. The whole church. Are we together? The whole church. 100,000. So this is 20,000. He says, and what? How many? Someone say, how many? All do what? Speak with tongues. We done? What did he say? And what? There come in her those who are untaught. Someone say untaught. Undiscipled, right? Someone say untrained. So can there be an untrained person? He was not few somehow. Sometimes it is now the trained that is feeling inferior. So someone is mocking tongues, is now getting to you. Someone is mocking speaking in tongues. See all of them. I saw one dysfunctional guy. I saw one guy somewhere, and then he said he looked at the church. on live stream. And said he was just looking at them. And even the pastor, all of them were just shouting, blah, blah, blah. The guy now said that that's the most stupid thing he has ever seen. Most stupid thing he has ever seen. When I saw it like this, I said, in the mouth of an unbeliever, the scriptures are being fulfilled. That is, there is no different description of speaking in tongues to the unbeliever. That's exactly what the Bible says. It says to him, it is gibberish. To him, he said it is what? Gibberish. So, the unbeliever, see, he is locked outside. Hey, don't say, hey, this speaking in tongues, this speaking in tongues. I'm going to preach the gospel to somebody. And then somebody is there, they are talking about speaking, they say, wait, are you born again? Have you believed the gospel of your side? He said, no, you should shut up. You have no business discussing tongues. It is a matter of the saved. That eh? Keep quiet. You are not qualified to make any statement regarding tongues. It is a discussion of what? Of the saved. You are still outside. When you believe the gospel, we bring you in, then we now school you. A Muslim saying, what do you think about this speaking in tongues? Why I should discuss tongues with you? Have you born again? No, that's the message for you. Then we can go into other things. This mocking tongues is now getting to you. The fellow is mocking tongues. He says what? He's untrained. Unlearned. Have you ever seen someone driving before? You are driving. Then there's somebody at the passenger seat. Then the driver is driving. And then the person is telling the driver, hey, my baby! Ah! Ah! We are traffic gate! Hey, reverse! Hey, reverse! Hey, reverse! On the express. You are going to look at the person and say, she has a motor. When you say, you worry. You worry. You are going to look at it. You will not even talk. You just ignore him. He's what? Unlearned. So when he starts learning, they give him a white something with red hair, right? And they call it what? Learner. Some of us, the day you start speaking in tongues, we're supposed to give you a badge. Learner. Now, did you know that there is more to tongues than speaking it? Now, I'm not talking about those who write it, though. I think that's one of the most stupid things I can do. Scam, blah, 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 blah. Then you write it. I used to do that. I'm sorry, but I used to do it before. Many, many years ago. On to go. You know to go. You know to go. If we talk to someone there, you say, and scroll, blah, blah, blah. Then we write it. We did not know that we were unlearned. Untrained. Untrained. We are greeting ourselves because we usually greet. You don't need to write it. Likus Krambabash. You now put exclamation mark. Which you now write. Mubring Konkoya with a question mark. That one too we now answer. Are we together? So when I say that there is more to tongues than speaking it, I'm not talking about writing it. Are we together? No. I'm talking about the operations of it. Did you know that tongues can lead into word of knowledge? Hey! Wait to come meeting. Tongues can lead into what? Word of knowledge. You talk in tongues till you begin to know the details of people, their names, their family, issues. That's what 1 Corinthians 14 says. Are we together? There is tongues as an inquiry into the mind of God. There is tongues as an enforcement of the believer's authority. There is tongues. That tongues as an inquiry into the mind of God is how you bring about prophecy to the church. You inquire into the mind of God, then you receive information, then you bring it to the church in the language they understand as prophecy. So they have those realms. There are things as such. So look at verse 23. If therefore the whole church become together in one place and all speak with tongues. All. Someone say all.
All.
Someone say all.
All.
Someone say all.
All.
Someone say all.
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 Wait. Were there children in this church? Do children speak in tongues?
Yes.
Yes. Members of 8 to 10 to 12 years ago would go to a place, myself and a friend of mine, I was sleeping. Children! All of them. And you know, the way they speak it. Children. Kids like that. Then you see some adults struggling. The children don't say, open your mouth and speak. Children will not say. Like I should cut it. I just put the blade. Bring your tongue. Every mini blade. Are we together? The man does it. Be like, Kowa. Even not in bone. He's not coming. Boss, call me. Are we together? How does he say? We all love perfume. The kids don't say that because they are full of faith. Are we together? That's why when you tell a child, God will provide, the child believes. When you tell an adult, God will provide, the adult will say, I know God will provide, but give me. What's your problem? When you tell a child, God, that's why you must remain what? A disciple. A child. Not in childishness, but in childlikeness. Are we together? So he says, all speak with tongues. Now look at this. And there come in those that are what? That are unlearned. Now it didn't mean they enter the service after the service has started. It means they are amongst us. Or what? Or what? Now notice those texts. Unlearned or what? Unbeliever. Can you see? Now the unlearned is different from unbelievers, but he grouped them together. He grouped them together based on their understanding of tongues. So the understanding of the unlearned, untrained Christian, a Christian that is not taught and trained in the things of the Spirit, his understanding is like that of a Muslim. His understanding is just like that of an idol worshiper. A disciple, therefore, is someone that is what? Aware. So the awareness of a disciple is in his understanding. Did you get it? The awareness of what? Of a disciple is in his what? Understanding. Understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. How they work. For example, look at it. This morning, I spoke about burning, right? Right? Let's look about burning. Now, when I spoke about burning, what happened in the auditorium? Huh? Which one is practical? Look at me. When I said burning, what happened in the auditorium? Huh? People got up and rejoiced in the Holy Ghost, right? Right? Now, what happened before the people got up? There was somebody here who rejoiced in the Holy Ghost. Right? Look at this. Somebody here rejoiced in the Holy Ghost. I think that was Botolu. He rejoiced in the Holy Ghost. Now, rejoicing in the Holy Ghost is a set of activities put together. Are we together? So, he rejoiced in the Holy Ghost. And then, when he rejoiced in the Holy Ghost, I saw 3, 4, 5 people, or a bit more, also rejoice as a result of that word, rejoicing. See, those that rejoiced, because of that rejoicing, are the thoughts.
It's very simple. This is going to insult you, but if you did not do that, you have shown that you are not taught. Because look at this. Look at this. Look at this. The things of the Spirit in a meeting, the way it happens is this. One person catches it, then others respond. I've taught these things well, but I'll still teach it. Don't worry. I'll still teach it. The things of the Spirit. When you come to a meeting, and suddenly you feel, or suddenly you see somebody praying. Praying. See, the way to respond to that is to also what? Start praying. Now, I've taught this severally in church. Is it clear? Is that praying? When you come around and you see somebody here singing, your response to the person here singing is also to what? To sing. That is a sign that you are taught. Because, see, the things of the Spirit moves that way. It's a flow. So if you are not learned, you will be left out of the flow. If you are taught, you will join the flow. The moment in meetings, you see someone rejoicing. Are we together? Are we together? The way to respond to that is to also what? Start rejoicing. Did you get it? Because look at me, everybody. Look at me. Look at me. That move of the Spirit for that particular minute or session or time or a minute, that move of the Spirit might not occur to all at the same time. So usually it is one person that what? That will pick it first. Then the assembly that is taught will know and respond. That is how we will be able to get all flow with the Spirit. Do you get what I'm saying? When somebody is singing in tongues, the church is expected to what? To sing along in tongues. And that's why sometimes I observe some of us, something is happening here, and some of us are seated down. It's a sign that you are an unlearned and untrained person. It's a sign. You join the flow. See, I joined the flow. I will teach on the flow of the Spirit, flowing with the Spirit soon. One of these days. You join the flow. You join the flow. The moment you look around and you see what God is doing, or how people are responding to what God is doing, join it. Immediately. Now, you know, sometimes, because it happens to me also, sometimes I don't feel like. It's not about what you feel like. Some people come into the meeting. This has happened to me multiple times. When I say multiple times, I mean I can't count 10, 20 times more. I've experienced, and I've had people experience. Some people come into a meeting, and look at this. It's not yet time to minister to the sick. Just by flowing with the Spirit. Is it clear? Is it clear? See. Anytime we come together, healing is amongst us. Healings. But there is what to do to get it. There is an act of faith that lays hold on it. So just by coming into the meeting, now not just healing, direction is there, clarity is there, are we together? Many things you might need is in the meeting. But there are acts of faith that lays hold on them. Now, how do I act? How do I have the act of faith? Just flow with the Spirit in the meeting. Flow with the Spirit in the meeting. When it is prayer session, be praying. In a teaching session like this,
You are taking notes. That is flowing with the Spirit. Because that is how to respond to what is happening at the moment. Are we together? When we are praying, you are praying. When people are standing with hands lifted up and their hearts open to the Lord and ministering to the Lord, do the same. When they are singing in tongues, do the same. That's what we mean by being in one accord that leads to a corporate flow of the Spirit. Are we together? Look at this. In the meeting, you can come with certain things of God's Spirit that somebody in that corner needs. It is here. Get this right. Get this right. Get this right. Somebody at the music team sit there can be in need of something. And in the meeting, that very thing is here. I mean this part of the service. This part of the auditorium. God's Spirit expects an assembly that knows how the Spirit moves. Are we together? To align their activities with the Spirit of God for that gift of virtue, as it were, to move from here to there. And if we don't do that, this person goes home, that person goes home the same way they came. So how do we ensure there is a move of the Holy Ghost and there are impartations, or what we call distributions of the gifts of God, by everybody what? Getting involved. By the time we all get involved, there is a flow of the Spirit there. Some say, God is everywhere, God is everywhere. Why didn't the power of God heal the woman with the issue of blood until she touched a cloth? Oh, so God's power can also move geographically in an orderly manner. God is everywhere. God is everywhere. But the power did not heal the woman. And Jesus responded to what happened. He said, I felt that what? Power as what? Has left me. That means the power of God is what? Transferable. I can throw it. Right? They took clothes in the body of Paul and went across city, and when they put it on people, they what? Unclean spirit cried out. That means I can transport the power of God. That's kindergarten things of the Spirit I'm teaching you. Kindergarten. I can transfer. I can transport the power of God. I can transmit the power of God. Are we together? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this, everybody. I can take God's power, put it on a chair, and someone will come and sit. Is it clear? Is it clear? Because the power of God is that tangible. It's a tangible thing. Oh. Amen. Awareness. What's the awareness? But if they come in, those that are what? Unlearned. That is, they were not taught. They are not taught. They are not taught. And the what? Unbelievers. Will they not what? Say. Now the say there means their judgment. It doesn't just refer to utterance alone. They can utter it, but it means that's the way they think, their perception. Will they not think? Will they not conclude? Will they not feel? Will they not believe? Will they not say that you are what? Out of your minds. Then he says, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that what? Believe not. Look at that text in 24. Or one what? On learning. So he put on learning and the unbeliever and says, I'm not an unbeliever. I'm not an unlearned person. Yeah. Unlearned unbeliever. So Jesus says, "Oh fools and slow to believe," because they were talking as though they were Gentiles. Ah, you that have the scriptures, the Messiah is risen. You have the scriptures. You are now moody, unlearned. Say, "I'm not unlearned." So look at this. Look at this. He says, "The whole church speak with tongues, then the unlearned what comes in." Right? I explained the comes into you doesn't mean they come to join the service. It means they are in the service. Now, does that imply that there will also be those who are learned in the service? So look at me. Do I come to church to receive knowledge, or I come learned? Do I come to church to receive knowledge, or I come into service learned? But now pay attention to this. In this kind of meeting that Paul is talking about, this is a believers meeting, definitely, right? Is this a believers meeting? So do I come to believers meeting to receive intelligence about how the things of the spirit works, or I attend a believers meeting with intelligence? You don't come into a believers meeting without what? Intelligence. Because in the believers meeting, you have arrived as a minister. Hey! See, in the believers meeting, the minister is not the one standing here. In the believers meeting, all are what? Ministers. Have you seen, look at me, have you seen a difference between that kind of a church and some other kind of churches where everybody just comes to say, "Amen, I receive"? That "Amen, I receive" is not God's plan. So there is one person on the pulpit who is giving the things of the spirit to all. He just comes by and he's like, no. In the plan of God, in the meeting, all are what? Prophets, right? Right? Priests, right? Kings. All. So the believers meeting is a different kind of meeting. Now, you already know now that when I say believers meeting, I'm not calling it a believers meeting because those who are there are believers. It's a kind of Christian meeting that we call believers meeting. It's a unique kind of meeting. So in a believers meeting, all are intelligent. If there are some unintelligent people, unlearned people there, don't forget the unintelligence doesn't mean that they won't pass the exams, right? It's with respect to the things of the spirit. See, I'm not unintelligent. I'm not unlearned. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm not unintelligent. I'm not unlearned. That's it. So I come into the meeting what? Learned. So it is in services like this that we communicate that what? Intelligence before the believers meeting happens. In services like this, on Thursday evenings we're communicating wisdom. On Sunday we're communicating the insight. Are we together, church? Are we together? That's what we're doing now. So I'm communicating intelligence to us in view of those meetings. Read on, everybody. We'll soon close. Read on. He says, "He's judged of all." Now, read verse 24 again. "But if all what prophesied, and there coming one that believeth not, or is what? Unlearned. He is what? Convinced of all. He is what? Judged of all." 25. "The secrets of his heart are what? Made manifest. And so, falling down his face, he will what? Worship God and report that over to what?" Now, take 26 months ago. "How is it then, brethren?" Now, what does he mean by "how is it then, brethren"? He's not asking them a question. It's a rhetorical question. It means this is it. Are we together? Are we together? You know, if I say many things and I say, "Okay, so how do we go about this? And I'm supplying the permission. He's not asking a question from them so that they start answering them. He's already saying, this is the way we should go about it. So this is it, brethren. Are we together? So he says, how is it, brethren? When you what? Come together. Wait. Is this come together the same in the come together in verse 23? Yes. So can we use the come together in verse 23 in 26? How will you read? How is it then, brethren? Go to 23. If therefore the whole church comes together into one place and all of us speak with tongues. Verse 26. And every one of you out there. Did you see that? The sound will be from what? The tongues. Amen. 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 Every one of you. So, everyone spoke with tongues, right? 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 So everyone, did everyone participate in 23? Will everyone participate in 26? Thank you. So look at 26 again, everybody wants to go? How is it, brother? This is it there, brother, huh? Where you all come together, and every one of you what? At a psalm. At a doctrine. At a what? A tongue. At a revelation, at an interpretation, let all this be done unto what? Edify. Are we together? So it shows you that the experience. Now it says, let all things, all these things. What are these things? The tongues, the doctrine, the interpretation, the revelation. Are we together? The psalm. Let all these things be done unto what? Edifying. Edifying means to build up. So in the church service, the experience of eternal life, are we together? Are we together? Is that the gifts of the Spirit will be used to build one another. Imagine someone now asking, a Christian, his tongues for every believer. You are, just stay aside, no? Did you get it? First of all, stay there. Taloko, eh? Which church are you attending? His tongues for every Christian. But we not even say stay outside. We say, please come, come, come. Bele. That's what we say. Bele. Bele. What did he say again? he said, I say his tongues for every Christian. His tongues for every Christian, right? Yeah. Bele, come, come, come. 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 Brother Riri, please get him filled. Get him speaking in tongues. Yeah, this small boy. Show the equity. Stop just speaking tongues. Say this small boy. Put your hands on him. Say, the tongues. Say, is he speaking in tongues now? Yes. Oh yeah, come. Go to where's Marvelous? Where's Marvelous? Go to Brother Marvelous. He's teaching tongues and interpretation. 70-year-old man. Yes. Go to Brother Marvelous. Teach him tongues and interpretation. Then Proverbs will say, the word for tongues is glossolalia. Glossolalia implies inspired speaking. When you spoke with tongues yesterday, that was glossolalia. Yeah. Proverbs will do that for like 40 minutes. Then I say, alright, Pastor has taught us that the things of the Spirit is by precept and example. Now I've taught you, we need to demonstrate it. Yeah, will now come back to the Brahman. Have you interpreted? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Interpreted. Yeah, come. Now you can now join the meeting. No, wait. We now say, yes, Sister Precious. Go to Sister Precious. Sister Precious, I teach him on the operations of the gifts of Sister Precious. Say, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God does not want ignorant Christians. Sister Precious, say, Sister Precious, say, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. 3 works for revelation. 3 works for power. That means the power of God is in you. Do you know that, sir? You have the gift of faith. I have the gift of faith. Oh, you did not know. But I'm marvelous. You did not teach him. Because those things is membership class. Is what? Membership class. I have all the gifts of the Spirit. It's not difficult to know. It's not just the gift you have. You have the giver inside you. Why are you struggling with, do I have the gift? Ale mo wa nle oni so lebun e. Ah ah. Oga jadam. Are we together? It is baby class doctrine now. I'm not joking. I'm not even trying to make an issue out of it. It's a baby class doctrine. That means there are things that within 3 months, that you are born again. Those are the things we show you. The moment someone is born again, the very first thing you show him is that you explain to him what had happened at salvation. So you don't come next week and he says, I'm a Muslim. Say, Azal now. Azal now. Azal now. Are we together? Azal now. So you have to show him what happened to him. When he believed, what had changed. It is in explaining that you can't explain that without even mentioning the spirit. The moment you now start talking about the spirit is already in you. You talk about the spirit now. You talk about leading of the spirit, you can now be led of God. You talk about the fruit of the spirit in his character. You talk about the gifts of the spirit in his life. He's 3 months now. A 3 month child is still drinking there's this peak for babies. What do they call it? 0 to 2, there's a name they call it. It's none. 3 months. Are we together? Imagine you are now 70-year-old. That is the gift of the spirit for us. Mumiki. Chokele enough wing battle being me. Vitamin milk deficiency. Are we together? The whole church. That means the whole church can be taught the things of the Spirit. So there is a greater demonstration when we come together. Why did you think that the day of Pentecost happened? They were all what? Taught. All. That's why I told you that I believe that was how it happened. One person, and then all spoke with tongues. That means when the first person started speaking, others did not say, they don't want to blaspheme. They don't want to at your age. They're speaking in tongues is blaspheming God. At your age. Not speaking in tongues is the blasphemy. Because you reject the gift of God. That's what blasphemy is. Well, it's not the blasphemy of Matthew 12, though. It's not blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Speak with tongues. Then you see some denominations say, how? Speaking in tongues. You speak with tongues. As you speak with tongues, you're getting full. Then you continue, you burst into all trances. There's a boldness on you. Then you stand before another fellow and you tell him what God is doing in his life. And as you are giving those words of wisdom, word of knowledge, you say, yeah, that's true. Okay, so this is what God is doing. There's on so time, so day you were, so place. You say, that's true. You don't even have to say, do I know you before? Have we been? No, you don't have to. Have we met before? You don't need to. Are we together? Oftentimes when you see services like that the preacher is ministering by word of knowledge and the preacher has to ask people and say, do you know me before? Did you tell me anything? Did you send us a WhatsApp chat? Have you ever been here? Did you talk to anybody? Such questions is to show you that the assembly is ministering to our what? Untrained. We don't want that kind of church. Some preachers are fine with those kind of churches. Of a GO or of a preacher. He is the only one that knows the things of God. So the people come. No! Not the church of Jesus Christ. In the church of Jesus Christ, all are full of the Holy Ghost. And Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? Philip went into Samaria full of the Holy Ghost. And usher in church. Went to cast out devils. That's it. The basic state of a disciple in the book of Acts is what we are now glorifying as status of a Jew today. No, it is for all believers. The pastor standing on the pulpit is just the model. That's the kind of church we are building. Is it clear? All flow in the things of the Spirit. Is it clear? The depth, the maturity of ministry in it can differ. But all are led of the Spirit. All can teach the word. All can minister a word of knowledge. They say something is happening in Dofia. They say, someone just speaking for us. Say, pastors are bleeding. Something is happening in Dofia. And this, and this, and this. And they say, I don't have to go. We just say, which of our members is in the Dofia? Which of our members, or maybe which worker is in the Dofia? Say, okay. Or we just say, do we have anybody in Dofia that has been in church for 3 months? Do we have anybody in Dofia that has been in church for 3 months? Yes. Let the person go to that place now and take care of the issue. And get back to me. Because the person is taught. Are we together? Do we have any worker in training that is in social place? Yes. Oh yeah, we have. Call the fellow. Oh yeah. Let the person go and cast out that devil. Do we have anybody in church for 6 months at Malete? Yes. There is a boy there that is being taken to the mortuary. Collect him and bring him back from the dead. It's not that pastor is in Kaduna and I'm coming. No. Pastor's point is not going. I just want him to speak the word. Speak the word. So eternal life in you is experienced through the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Yes, I know conduct. Yes, I know love work. Yes, I know the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit in the services. Are we together, church? Someone say awareness. Say, I'm aware. I'm aware. Alright, let me begin to close. Are we learning something? So quickly, a disciple is aware. Awareness. Intelligence. Intelligence. It's not a matter of whether you have prayed or not. It is knowledge. It is experience. It is depth. You now pray. Are we together? You definitely you maintain a consistent prayer life. But it's not just about praying. You know how to move, how to operate, how to minister the things of the Spirit. You know. When some things happen, you know what next to do. Every Christian. Don't say, those are the people we call Woli. That Woli, that thing we call Woli, is God's plan for every Christian. Every Christian. The church is being treated. And that's what shows that discipleship is not going on. Because if discipleship is going on, your members look like you. Two things are happening. The pastor, the general overseer, does not understand what his work is. Your work is not to set church members free from the enemy. Your work is to train church members to first of all stay free and set others outside free. I'll talk about it more. That's a disciple. A disciple looks exactly like you. Is it clear? The second thing is that I have lazy Christians. You have some believers that are lazy. How do you know a lazy Christian? A lazy Christian already tells himself, I don't want to go beyond this stage.
Oh God.
Tell your neighbor, say, come up either. Say, come up higher. That's how you know a lazy Christian. I don't want to go beyond this stage. No! God gave His Spirit. He gave His Spirit to be a mediocre in the faith. No. No. No, not me. So I say, I don't know what to do. I'm just confused. I'm just confused. I will do anything that comes to my mind. No, not a Christian. Not a Christian. Not a Christian. Not a Christian.
I'm still full of the Holy Ghost. And I keep working at it. I keep working at it. Year in, year out. I'll get better. I'll develop depths in the things of God. I'll develop depths in the things of God. I will be a deep Christian. You know what they call elder? Agba. Every Christian. Our children's church, having disciples in their schools. I used to raise a group of teens, 2014. Okay, Badon. To Oremeji area, that axis from Okibadon down to Oremeji. That axis. I used to raise them, taking them to prayer and teaching them. Sometimes we go 14 days vigil. And they are praying, and I'm teaching them every night, and they are praying. Nothing less than 5, 6, 7 hours of prayer. Teaching them. They go back to their schools and they have disciples. Disciples. So one will come to me and say, sir, because they don't used to call me pastor, they just call me Bro Kevin. My disciple said this. And then I was teaching them the things of the Spirit. Some of them got there and got their teachers filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not joking. Some of them come around us today. You see them around, right? God, their teachers full of the Holy Ghost. There was one of them that entered the staff room. God, the teachers full of the Holy Ghost. Obviously, those teachers must have been very humble and meek and receptive. God, teachers full of the Holy Ghost in the staff room. Then they brought the boy out, and then they said the boy should lead the assembly. Then he led the assembly. Then the assembly went beyond what he could do. That was how the news got to me. Because that was his own level, right? That was his level. By the time he was ministering the assembly, his demons started manifesting. So he was scared. That was his level. But see the power. He just lived over there, lived worship in the name of Jesus. As he pointed his hands out like this, all of them. I'm sure it looks like, as he was talking, I felt something like a bolt of fire came out from his finger. As he said he was leading worship, and as I said, in the name of Jesus, said, all over the assembly, people are falling down there. Demons, he said, so it just went out of hand. Well, it caused some issues though, because parents now came out and said, stop. Hola, malos kulola, malos kulola. So by the Monday, coaching show. Then it's my work with me. That's it. Are we together? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Everyone in campuses, as a campus student, you have disciples. You work among CEOs of companies. You have friends that are other CEOs. Those CEOs, you have disciples amongst them. That is it. Every Christian, see, gone are those days and forms of Christianity. That a Jew will stand here, or a pastor will stand here and be prophesying, and then people will come for a meeting, a convention, and then just prophesy and tell the word of God, and we say amen. He said, as you are going, you are preserved, and then we now go to come back next year. No! Jesus is not building that kind of church. I'm not saying God is not there. You get it? I'm saying that is not the height of what God is doing. Each Christian. Are we together? So imagine an assembly of 500. All the 500 have my knowledge, my wisdom as I'm standing here, my experience in the things of the Spirit, my ability to minister the things of the Spirit, to search out the minds of God and minister it, and my courage to take the things of Spirit out into my world. And there are 5,000 meeting of people like this. That's the church God wants. So in the church, we will now keep on taking new people, right? Through evangelism, right? We'll train them. That means the 6 months Christian and the one that got born again yesterday, will there be a clear difference? Yes, of course! That 6 months and 1 year Christian, will there be a difference? Yes, of course! We all have knowledge, similar knowledge, growing. Will the depth differ, but we'll all be growing? That is God's plan. That is God's plan.
That is God's plan. That is why everyone here at Camp Meeting, you must see yourself planting cells in the church. You must see yourself. You must see yourself planting cells, taking responsibility for 10 to 20 other Christians, receiving instruction and growing in the Lord under your watch. Taking up their places to also become like you in stature, who will now also take responsibility for others. Thus, the nations of the earth being filled with the glory of God. Then say, what about conduct issues? Leave conduct issues. God will fix it. Is it clear? Let people be full of the Holy Ghost. God will fix it. All. That is God's plan. So, awareness. You must be intelligent about what God is doing and how He is doing. Intelligent about meetings. I'll close with this text. Look at Acts 1. Quickly. Acts 1. I'll close there. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus had left the side in Acts 1, He's taken up into glory, you know, by the clouds, by the hands of angels. You see, the disciples returned to Jerusalem, and when they returned to Jerusalem, they went to the, what's it called, to the upper room to pray. They went to the upper room to stay, rather. You know, I've corrected that. That they were staying in the upper room. They were living in the upper room. Then they had meetings at Solomon's porch. But it's fine. So they went there to the upper room. Now, when they returned to Jerusalem, notice one thing. I'll build on that on Thursday. But notice that Jesus gave them instructions on where to go. So we said that part of your intelligence about Christian meetings is to know what? The place of the meeting. Know the place and be what? Be there. Don't forget First Samuel chapter 10. Saul. Know the place and be there. Be there. Say, I'll be there. How many of us will be at Camp Meeting? We'll be at Camp Meeting. I'll be there. Are we together? So, know the place and what? Be there. Is it clear? Now, look at this. Imagine, just imagine that. Now, Jesus was killed around the feast of the Passover, right? Crucified around the feast of the Passover, right? Right? Now, if you read your Old Testament books well, you know that the feast of the Pentecost is 50 days from the Passover. They are going to count 7 Sabbath days. That's 7 times 7, 49. Then the next, are we together, is the feast of the new beginnings. You see that in Leviticus? See that in Numbers? The feast of the new beginnings. So, now the new beginnings is the same word for Pentecost. It means newness. Now you have Pent, which is 5, right? So the Pentecost is 50 days from the Passover. So Jesus was crucified, then He rises up from the dead and taught the apostles from when? For 40 days, right? So on the 40th day, He meets them at Galilee, alright? And then He sends them, He says, to go wait for the promise of the Father in Jerusalem. And then they were there, meeting together, praying till the day of the Pentecost. It shows you that from that time that Jesus was taken away, and the day of Pentecost was a 10-day meeting. So they had a 10-day retreat that led to the day of the Pentecost. You must not miss it. You mustn't miss it. Now, another thing you must not miss, which is not my focus, is what were they doing in the 10 days? They were not playing movies and entertaining people. Because look at this. There is just one activity that precedes the move of God. It is prayer. If you use the time of prayer for something else, you will not have the move of God. You will not. You will not. You will not have the move of God. It is the way God works that anytime He wants to do something, He sets people to pray. Anytime. There is no second activity. It is prayer. Check the entire Bible. Before God did something, check the entire Bible. I have heard their cries. It is prayer from Egypt. God Moses sent them there. It is prayer all the time. It is prayer all the time. It is prayer.
It is prayer. So, in fact, it says pray. So, look at that. For 10 day meeting. Right? 10 days, right? 10 days. Now, imagine somebody had left on day 9. Will it have what happened on the day of Pentecost? No. Left on day 8. If camp meeting is Thursday to Sunday, don't leave. But what about the things I have to do within that period? That's the reason for planning. Plan it. Execute activities before the meeting. Execute the remaining activities what? After the meeting. It's, for example, it's Sunday morning. You know, sometimes you have people come into service and get up and leave the service before service is over. It is wrong. I understand that you might have an unusual day, unusual schedule, and you have to go and do something. See, that's excuse that, and this is so important. And it's okay. Sometimes you even tell me that this is what I have to go and do, and I'm okay. But it does not undo the fact that that is not the way God does things. He doesn't undo that fact. Sometimes some other people are absent from meetings. You are not in service. Now sometimes people can be away from service and the person doesn't say anything or do anything and then we just didn't see you. Oftentimes they are non-members that does that. They are non-members. I just want to say, why were you in meeting? He said, because I said, wait. If you were the one opening the door, will you be at the meeting? Say yes. If you were the one doing something, if the service depended on you, or maybe the person was absent, but the person didn't take excuse, or the person came late. If something the service depended on you, will you have still handled it that way? No. Okay, so you handled it that way because nothing in the service depended on you. That means you are handling it because you are not responsible. Not in life, but in the meeting. Are we together? Now, if you do things that way, you will never get responsible. Because with that attitude, nothing will get to be committed to you. Did you see that? 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 See, in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, God frowns at giving responsibilities to the unavailable. No. God chooses the available and makes them able. Did you see that? God never puts His grace on those who are not available. He doesn't. He puts His grace on the available. And that grace now means someone say, I don't think I can take up this responsibility because I am not. God puts His grace on the available. Are you available for it? If I am available for it, God will now put His grace. Is it clear? Is it clear? That's the way it works. That's the way it works. What I'm talking about, folks who miss meetings or those who you just leave meeting. Sometimes people miss meeting and they say, oh, this is the reason why. Sometimes people say, oh, I have to go and do this outside the city. I will not be in this particular meeting. I will not be in this conference or I will not be in this service because I have to travel. I have to go and do this. It's okay. If it's legitimate, it's okay. But it does not undo the fact that meetings must not be missed. You know the way I do it? Worst case scenario, I go out of the city, I travel in for the meeting, return, travel in for the meeting. No matter how far. I've done that in 18 years. And if you see anything in me that you desire, then that's how it came. That's how it came. That's how it came. There's a meeting I told myself that I will never miss this meeting. It's my 13th to 14th years. I have never missed one of those meetings. And you definitely know that all the years are not the same. Things happen. I will never
miss the meeting. I will never miss it. I'll never miss it. There was one particular year like that, that I missed the night session. Because I got into the place late. I haven't been in the meetings for about 6 to 8 to 10 years. I now missed one session. Now, I got into the session, though. I was in session. At least before the teaching started, I arrived. I went through the whole teaching, everything. So I was still in the session. But I came some 40 minutes late into the session. Something happened that year that never happened before and after. The preacher just came that year. And for the first time in the history of that meeting, he says, if you are outside this city, you do ministry outside this particular city, and you are a planter of church. Not only are you now a planter of the church, you also went somewhere else from the place you have grown up to plant a church. It was a specific word of knowledge. I was not there. I cried. I said, and I go to those meetings fasting. I shed tears. Because I was told. I said, Because see, no two meetings are the same. If you have been on a church service, you know, no two services are the same. See, the fact that they are consistent activities does not mean the entire meeting is the same. What I'm telling you today, if you were not here, will you hear it? You will not hear it. And we have Sunday service. No two meetings are the same. The fact that we have consistent activities, we will pray, we will sing, we will teach the word, we will now give. Yes, but it does not mean that the meeting is the same. In fact, the reason why you come and you get blessed less is because you already have that format in your head. This is what will happen in the meeting. You know what will happen in the meeting. That's why you didn't get blessed. Are we together? I'll be there. Some nights ago, a friend of mine came around, right? Some evening. I didn't know he was coming. I didn't know he was coming. And when he came in, he gave a number of the saints. He gave them the gifts of God. He gave them. See, the things of God can be given you. Paul said, the gift that was given you by the laying on of hands. We can give you something. We can give you something. You know, in the occultic, they say that way, Ogbeye Abi, right? If you speak Yoruba, you know what that means, right? That means when it has been initiated in the occult, in the witchcraft, that means they are able to bring the person into a different life, different experiences. See, in the things of the spirit, the gift of God can be given you. So Paul told Timothy, he says, neglect not the gift that was given you by the laying on of hands. The gift of God. The gift of God. The gift of God can be given you. Something that was not working before in your life begins to work. And it makes your entire life better. Some things you were struggling with to do. You have a desire in your heart, but you were not able to do it. You are not able. Because that's how it's been with me also. And some years ago, some things that I desire to do, I try. I'm not able to. And in some meetings like that, my pastor just walks around. Remember that meeting? It was 2013. Pastor just came around. He just came around to that meeting. And he called me. He says, you. He didn't know my name then. He says, you. He says, come. I just went. He said, I'm laying hands on you now. That's what he said. He said, I'm laying hands on you now. And what I'm giving you, he said it, in 20 years, you will still be discovering what it is. He says in 20 years, it will still be unfolding. You will be growing in the understanding of what it is. What did the minister to me? And Jesus said, I just received. And he laid hands. He didn't even speak more words. He just laid hands. I knew that year changed for me. And while I can actually say that I've been in the ministry way before then, and I've been serving God and I've been preaching before then, that year was like a new beginning. That's it. And subsequent years also. Because we're in the meeting. I want to close Acts 1, please. Acts 1. Have you opened there? So Jesus was taken from their side. And then he told them a place to go. Someone say the place. The place. Are we together? Then he told them what to do, right? He says, wait. You see that in Luke 24. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He told them what to do. So there is the place. There is the activity. You must not miss it. If you are at the place with a different activity, you miss it. Now, look at what will shock you. If you are at a different location with the activity, the right activity, you still miss it. Is that not what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 10? He told him the hill. When you get into the hill of God, he says, when you get into the midst of the prophets, it shall come to pass. And then he went there. The place, the activity. Are we together? The place and the activity. So I must be aware of the place, right? Right? And I must be there, isn't it? That's number one. Number two, must I be aware of the activities? That means, what is the purpose of the meeting? Where am I going there to do? What am I going there to do? At camp meeting, we teach the plan of God. We pray the plan of God. We sing the plan of God. We minister in diverse forms, as led by the Holy Ghost, the things of the Spirit. Are we together, church? That's what we do at camp meeting. That's what we say. That's what we sing. That's what we pray at camp meeting. So you must know what you're going there for. The activities. And you must participate. Someone say participate. So the reason for the awareness of the place, so that you can be there. The reason for the awareness of the activity, so that you can what? Participate. Say, I participate. I participate. So when we are singing, what will you be doing? You'll be singing. Now we can project those songs, right? Right? Yes. When we are praying, what will you be doing? You'll be praying. You'll be praying. When we are praying for souls, don't be praying for money. You will not be blessed. You will not be blessed. When we are praying for souls, don't be praying for money. That means at that time, souls is what God is giving. And sometimes you just need to be smart. Are we together? That the resources is with the people. When we're praying for the gifts of the Holy Ghost, don't be praying about marriage and wedding. You will be foolish. Hey! What were you saying in prayer at camp meeting that your life did not change? What were you saying? Say what God. See, the Spirit of God, some of those sessions, the Spirit of God shows us by revelation that this morning, this is what I want to give. Then we lead people to pray about it. You pray with all you have. You have it. It is fanning to flame. You go to one corner. That's what we call retreat. You are at a corner. You are now, imagine you are fanning. How many of you used to do charcoal? You used to do charcoal. Charcoal, then about two or three of them. You need to charcoal. You need to charcoal. You need to charcoal. Then you carry a fan, right? Let you do. As you focus on it, if you just do it 2 seconds, you even cry. Because the smoke will be all over you. It will disturb the whole place. But when you stay with it, you keep fanning. You are going to know. Someday you not even decide not to stop. You already see the coals will be tapping out. Pa, pa. You'll be seeing sparks of fire, right? You now stay again. See, at that moment, the fire is what? It's eating deep. That's what you do at camp meeting. That's what each session does. It's fanning. Session 1, stay there. Session 2, stay. Session 3, is fanning. Session 4, fanning. You'll be tempted to, I can go now. Session 5, fanning. Session 6, fanning. After a while, boom, burning. And you will not need to now fan it again. Are we together? It will now burn extensively. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So look at that in Acts 1 there. Let me close here. So they came to Jerusalem. Now look at verse 19, everyone. Verse 19. Want to go? Concerning Judas Iscariot, okay? Read on. Go on. Read that text again that you are now. Wherefore what? All these men that what? Which have accompanied with us all the time that what? Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us, beginning from the baptism of John, on the same day was taken up from us, must be ordained one to be a what? A witness of with us of this what? Resurrection. Did you see that? Now what am I trying to point out in this text, and I'll close here. You see, they gave a criteria of one who will receive the critical responsibility of being one of the 12. A critical responsibility. Now, you might not understand the import of this text or why I'm using it. Are we together? But look at this. You just have to get it. See, this is God's plan. The 12. God's plan. The foundations of Israel are 12. The tribes. Even into Revelation, the 12. And that became a motive why Jesus chose 12 folks. Now, one of them got out, misbehaved, got out. And then they had to fill that office again. So, this is about God's plan. Who will be amongst us in championing the plan of God? So, this is about what God is doing. Someone say, what God is doing. This is about what God is doing. As it pertains to this church, what God is doing. What God is doing, we believe. I don't know if you believe, say, but I know that the Word Life Baptism Church is called of God. We're a church called of God. And we are taking the nations of the world. I know it. Are we together? I know it. I know we're going to have churches in South Africa. We're going to have churches all over South Africa. I know we are planting churches all over West Africa. Europe. We are planting churches all over Europe. Asia. Are we together? We're planting churches all over. North America, South America. African nations. We're planting churches in Ghana, Mali, Uganda, Cameroon, Togo, Zimbabwe, Malawi. We are planting churches there. Strong churches. Evangelism, prayer meetings, the word of God well taught. Demons cast out, the sick healed. Believers flowing with the Spirit. Leading God's plan for their lives. Building strong families, strong businesses, strong relationships. All over. I know that. I know that we are changing the state of this generation. I know it. Because God told me, but not just me, God told a whole lot of us here. God told you. I know it that God is handing over the secondary schools to us. Because that's the way we are going to be able to change the face of the coming generation. That's it. That's why I'm not stupid to run after the adults and the wealthy and all, select those who come to church because of the state of... No. God wants to change an entire generation. So you have to see what is there. It is not money. You have to see the treasure there. God is going for the younger generations. The 35 to the 15, to the 12, to the 7 years old. God is going for them. That way, He will be able to raise pastors, strong Christians, who will not taste the corruption of the addictions of this world. Satan won't have ambassadors amongst them. He won't. When you look home now, those of you that have siblings, those younger siblings of yours, or children, or cousins, or nephews, or cousins of yours, God is targeting them. They are the ones. Now, that shows you, look at me, everybody, look at me. What is now your own place if the target is those ones? That means everyone I'm talking to this morning and your friends and colleagues, those of your age bracket, are the ones God needs to train those ones. You are the one He's calling to train the younger ones. His target is the younger ones. So He needs your business to prosper you so that you can have resources to carry out His work in the younger ones. That is why He is prospering your business. Don't lose it. Don't miss it. That's why you can't be careless about the things you are doing now. You can't just run anywhere in the name of opportunities. Any small opportunities you have traveled out. You are aborting the plan. So, Bonnie, you are aborting it. An average person of this age group now is thinking about traveling now. Calm down. Is it God's plan? Is it God's plan? He is training the younger ones. That is where He's going. He is giving us, if you are here listening to me this morning, God is giving to us corporately an entire generation to train and raise for Him. And we have many churches that don't know this, and they are giving them entertainment. No, the word. Secondary school kids having wisdom of the plan of God. See, the well-behaved conduct is a minor thing. Have you not seen that conduct and habit answers to identity? I'm even treating this money already like it can't be this session. Are we together? It answers to identity. My friend said we should go and steal. It's an identity issue. The child does not know who he is. So he's a minor. Conduct are minor things. We focus on the main deal. Now, you are complaining about the conduct. Yet you are complaining that they are being very zealous with you. Kill a fair. Some parents don't know what they want. Your child is in church, evangelizing, praying and all. You say, it's too much.
When that one is misbehaving, you say he's misbehaving. You are just confused. God's plan. So this is what God is doing. And we are looking for somebody who will be part of us in championing it. What's the criteria? 22. Everybody. Verse 22. Read verse 21 again. Wherefore, of these what? Of these men, which are what? So can we say, has been with us? Has been with us? Has been with us? Is it what God is doing? So they need people who will champion what God is doing. They said, those that have what? Have been with us. Ask your neighbor, say, where are you? Where are you? Have been with us. Did you see that? God will not use you amongst us if you have not what? Been with us. Read on. And have been amongst us, with us, All the. Answer the question. All the. Is it include prayer meeting? Include teaching meeting? All the. Wait, does it include when we are just starting? When we are through meeting under the tree? All the. When we move into a venue with AC? Does it include that? All the. That have been through thick and thin, right? What about moments when the church being persecuted? Are they there? When they were persecuting Jesus, were they there? Were they there? They have been with us what? When Jesus was multiplying bread, were they there? When there was cases and they couldn't pay tax, were they there? Were they there? When they saw the miracles, were they there? When the whole nation rose up against Jesus, were they there? All the time. You have to be in the assembly. Read on. Beginning from what? The baptism of John, until the what? The same day that what? He was taken up from, okay, read on. Must one be what chosen, okay? Read on now. So they appointed people. Are we together? So look at it. They said, critical matters. I'm closing. Critical matters are handed to those who have been around and consistently useful. Critical. Not those that have been around most of the time. No. All the time. Someone say all the time. All the time. Notice. They didn't say, let us choose from those that have personal relationship with Jesus. No. Those that have been what? With us. Not those that have strong work with God. With God. Not those that have personal experiences of Jesus. Those that have seen visions of Jesus. No. Those that have been what? With us. See, it means that God expects you to hand over critical tasks to those who have observed how he leads you. Did you see that? A church hands over critical tasks into the hands of people who have been around enough to know how God leads that church. They've been around to know how we arrived where we are. Someone say, in the assembly. I'll build on this on Thursday. So, let me ask a question as we close. Church attendance, is it compulsory? Is it compulsory? The apostles of Jesus, when important things are at stake, we trust what?
those that are what? Being in what? Excellent attendance. From the baptism of John, now, what happened at the baptism of John? The baptism of John characterizes Jesus' ministry. In fact, there was no preaching of Jesus' ministry without the mention of John's baptism. Because at the baptism of John, that was where Jesus began the ministry. But not just that. Not just that. It was at the baptism of John that they knew what Jesus was called to do. So never be absent in the meetings where we are seeing again what God has called us to do. Never be absent. From the baptism of John. John looked at him. He looked at him and says, he said, "Oh, there is one mightier than I who is amongst you." He says, "Of whose shoes I'm unworthy to lose the laces of his shoes. I baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." So when Jesus came and John saw him, John 1:39, he looked at him afar. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is he that I told you. He is the one that will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. I knew him not, but the one who sent me said unto him, upon whom you see the Spirit descending upon and abide upon him, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost." Are we together? You see that? So in the baptism of John was a meeting. A meeting. Was Peter there? Was John there? The sons of Zebedee. Notice that when John the Baptist was done without utterance and he put Jesus in the water and up, they ran after him. They were there. That means there was revelation. There was revelation. John the Baptist had revelation of Jesus and utterances. So in the meeting, now, this is the Lamb of God. Was that a teaching? Was that a teaching? So at the baptism of John was a meeting where you have a teaching of the plan of God, the purposes of God for our lives, the purposes of God for a ministry, the purposes of God for a church, Jesus' ministry, the purposes of God for that ministry, that meeting, where the purposes of God for that ministry was explained. And accompanying the teaching of the Word of God was revelation. Revelation. John the Baptist had revelation and gave revelation. He saw the Spirit descending like a dove and he said, now I know you read, he said, "Oh, there was a voice that came from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Hear you him." No voice came from heaven. Go read that text well. The utterance was the office of John the Baptist. He was the one who said, "This is my beloved Son." Why then does he say from heaven? That is the authority that John the Baptist spoke under. He wasn't saying from the sky. No voice came from or comes from skies. God uses his prophets to speak forth his divine plan. So John the Baptist, being the prophet there, he saw into the Spirit. And he said, go and read the text. It was John the Baptist who spoke. Why did he say from heaven? Because what he said was from heaven, not human. So a voice spoke from heaven. That's why when they came and doubted Jesus' ministry later on, he pointed them to that event. He says, by whose, they told Jesus, he said, "With whose authority do you cast out devils?" He now says, "Under whose authority did John the Baptist what? Speak." So they all knew that if they said man's authority, the people will move against the Pharisees, because they say, "You are trivializing John the Baptist. He is a prophet of God. How will you say he spoke under man's authority?" That means someone paid him to say it. And they were too proud to say under God's authority, because they felt that if they said that, they would have admitted that John the Baptist was pronouncing Jesus as Lord. So they were quiet. So Jesus also said, "Me too. I will not answer you. I won't answer you." Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's it. So there was a doctrine In that meeting, there was a revelation played for me. In that meeting, were there supernatural experiences in that meeting? Huh? There were supernatural experiences. Wait, was there prayer in the meeting? Notice he said that he looked at Jesus, and Jesus was what? Jesus was praying. So there was prayers in that meeting. There was revelation in that meeting. There was doctrine in that meeting. There were supernatural experiences. Was there prophecy in that meeting? There was prophecies. Are we together? Then he said, that meeting, beginning from that meeting, is how we will know who is who amongst us. How God works. Don't miss meetings. It was therefore a special meeting. It was a special meeting. And they were there. They were there in the special meeting. Are we together? Those who were in those crucial meetings of the ministry, those who were present in certain crucial meetings of the ministry, they saw, they heard, they experienced supernatural things till the period when it was taken up. Another supernatural experience. Taken up. He says, those people, they are the people we hand over critical things to. So in a special meeting, there will be teaching. The vision of God's plan will be clear. Supernatural experiences will be in abundance. Prophecies. There will also be ministry instructions. In those kind of meetings, God's methods, God's truths, God's wisdom will be made available to us. And even in those meetings, God's method is made available, God's truth is made available, God's wisdom is made available, then the meeting itself is a tool. The meeting itself is a tool. So what do? Plan for camp meeting. Pray for camp meeting. Prepare towards camp meeting. Prepare what to give and start giving before the meeting. Because your giving will help to hold an effective meeting. So start giving towards the meeting. And start praying towards the meeting. Because your prayer will help to hold what? An effective meeting. Not just for you, but also for as many as will be in attendance. So there are meetings you don't miss. There are meetings and there are meetings. I'll be in the right meetings. We have said that 90 to 95% of what God does in the life of a man is a function of relationships where God put him. I am saying that those 90 to 95% of what God does in the life of a man is done in meetings. Because relationships works in meetings. And meetings works through relationships. There are things God will not say. Look at me, everybody. There are things God will not say to you. See, Timothy was in the church meeting in Acts 16. When God brought him into the company of Paul, he now had things for his life that he didn't hear while he was in church. Are we together? Are we together? See, you must not be a dull Christian. You must know transition moments of your life where you are to move from a place into a place where God has prepared for you. You must know. You must know. There's a reason why I'm standing before you. Is that clear, brother? Tap that, brother. There's a reason I'm standing before you. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? You must know. You must know those times and seasons of your life. You must know. As we pray, Timothy, Paul told him, he says, the gift given to thee. Then he says, in 1 Timothy 4:14, the laying of hands promised is by the presbytery. He said all those things. He says in 1 Timothy 1:18 also, wars that have gone ahead of you, that by them thou mayest wage a good warfare. He was talking about the utterances which Timothy had received from him. and from his ministry. This Timothy did not hear. Oh, do we have another example? We see the example. Are we together? We see another example in the book of Acts. Are we together? Are we together? Even outside the book of Acts, in the four Gospels, the things that Peter never had under John the Baptist. The things that John never had, James and John never had under John the Baptist. They will now come into Jesus' ministry and hear those things. So by John, 1 John 1, it says we have seen and we have heard and we have handled of the word of life. Are we together? He said we have undone it, and it was referring to the things that he experienced upon Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry was not the first ministry per se that John was present. They were disciples of John the Baptist. That was a great ministry. But God's plan is that they will move on. Are we together? While I don't advocate a switch of relationships, drastic switch of relationships, but I encourage you to watch out for God's plan and see what is leading you to do. Open your ears and hearts and minds and heed what he is saying. Are we together? And then we don't prolong what should happen today in 10 years, in 10 years. We don't prolong what ought to take place today to 5, 6, 7 years because we're dull and it's deep in the heart. No. We are open. We are open. And as a church, we are open. We are open to what God will say to us. Yes, our hearts are open. Our minds are open. We are open. We are open. I am open. I am open. Lord will speak to me. I will receive prophecies. I will receive direction. I will receive clarity. Words will be spoken over my life by which I will wage a good warfare in the days and the years and the months and the seasons to come. Yes. Yes, seasons upon seasons, seasons upon seasons, times upon times. The plan of God, the line upon line, a precept upon precept, the plan of God unfolding, unveiled, because I will be found in the right places. Just pray for yourself. Pray for yourself, pray in the spirit. Now, that you are sensitive to the move of the Holy Ghost from now into camp meeting preparation, through camp meeting, and after camp meeting through 2026, applicative. Yes. It is available.
the songs, and the nations will hear those conversations. The gift of God will be given you. Singing prophets. receive through prayers. Be careful of a meeting that you didn't pray about. I mean, be careful of not just attending, be careful of holding a meeting that was not a product of prayers. God will not use it. It's your thing. It's your thing. It's your thing. You will not have any reward for it. There are meetings that God gives you.
There are meetings that gives you. The name is not what matters. You can call it this, you can call it conference, you can. But God gives every assembly. Any assembly that endeavors to wait on the Lord, God gives them. And you know, this is not Sunday meeting or Thursday meeting. This is a special meeting. And God gives meetings. In Christ's discipleship camp meeting is a gift of God to us. We must honor it. So, part of the things we'll pray about this week in our prayer groups, and sometimes we can have random instructions this week where our celebrators just reach out to us, and then we have prayer groups, meetings, impromptu this week. You know. But part of things we'll be praying about is that we are going to honor the meeting. When God gives you something, honor it. When God gives you a platform, honor it. When God gives you a partner, if you sense that your partner in marriage is a gift of God, honor the person. When God gives you a pastor, honor him. And when God gives the pastor the congregation, he honors it. Whatever God gives must be honored. If you don't honor it, you will be without the reason why he gave you. You will have that thing, but you will be without the reason why he gave it. Your life will not have a direction if you don't honor your pastor. Your life will not. We must quit this new age, whatever thinking going on, this free thinking going on social media. Your life will have no useful direction if you do not honor your pastor. Now, I'm not talking about honor, sit so you know. I'm talking about recognizing the place that this person plays and honoring the person. See, he says, God gave shepherds so that his people be not like sheep, having no shepherd. And God is amongst them. Yet God says they are like sheep without a shepherd. And God is there. That's scary. That God is there. Yet God is calling those people a sheep without shepherd. And God is there. God is amongst them. Yet he says these people are like sheep without a shepherd. So he says, set a man on the congregation. So God brings a man so that others can now have direction. Why? Because those others that receives that man and now have direction will soon be the ones also giving direction to others. We are going to pray in our personal moments this week, our prayer meetings this week, and if there are any randomly instructed prayer groups, the celebrants will reach you. Are we together? We are going to pray and we are going to focus that we are going to honor our meeting. Part of honoring the meeting also is that you are not there alone. Ensure you have at least one person at our meeting. Have two, have three, have four, have five. He says, where two or three people are gathered, right? That means setting up a meeting is the Christian's initiative. The Christian is the one that takes initiative to create a meeting. That means, it's very simple. If you are going to a church meeting, you can take the initiative of making that meeting two or three. I know the meeting is already two or three, even without you. But can you, as a Christian, take the initiative of turning the meeting into what? Two or three. What does that imply? You will have an invite. Did you see that? So me having an invite in the service is me putting upon myself that initiative of making the meeting two or three. If all of us put on ourselves, a meeting will become 100, 200, 500, 1,000. Have someone at the meeting. Have people at the camp meeting. Get them registered.
the registration link will be communicated out to us. Let's get people registered. Let's get people registered. Sell with us. Let's communicate the registration details this week. Let's communicate it. The workers are already registered. So let's register every non-worker here. If you're here this morning, you're a non-worker in church, ensure by the end of today you have registered for the camp meeting. It is also now your duty to also invite 2-3 people. Now, if we are going to have a strong meeting, if we are going to have a meeting, because a meeting is not a meeting of one, a meeting is 2 or 3. So if we are going to have a meeting, because we are 2 or 3, that means you can have a better meeting with 4 or 5. Right? 4 or 5. It is not a meeting with you, it's already 2 or 3. That's a meeting. Now, a better meeting, can a better meeting be greater number and stronger things of spirit? Greater number. Now, that means we can have a greater meeting. Greater meeting. Greater meeting. To the degree that we increase the what? The numbers. And we endeavor to ensure that the people who attend are focused in the minimum way, at least enough to what? To receive and participate. Everybody will not be at the same level of spiritual knowledge. Is it clear? No. But everyone can be of one accord to receive. Are we together? To receive. The same way we have people in service. Someone in service does not even speak with tongues. It doesn't matter. Let the person come around. Are we together? Then as a result of the meeting, the person now speaks with tongues and is made better. Then the one who already speaks with tongues also have areas where he also got better. Then the one who is a leader also had areas where he also got better. Even the one who gives direction to the things of the spirit in the meeting, the pastor, also gets better. It is our duty to have invite for coming. So non-workers in church, if you are not yet in the workforce in the church, ensure by the end of today you have registered. After this service, registration link and details will be communicated, you know, to us by respective channels responsible. Let's endeavor to follow the link and you fill the form online and then you register. So we receive basic details that we need to prepare for your attendance in the meeting. Beyond that, it is now your duty, our duty, to have people who are not even here, loved ones, family. Look at it. In John 1:45, Philip went to Nathanael and said to him, "We have found Jesus, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets," he says Jesus of Nazareth. That was Philip going to bring Nathanael into the ministry of Jesus. It was Philip. He went to bring in a friend. So you can bring a friend into the church and you now become very committed together. As powerful as Paul is, did you know it was Barnabas that brought him? It was Barnabas. It was Barnabas that went to search for him. So you can go and search for people. Searching for people means that I know the person. Searching for people also means I'm looking for the person. But it means that while you can inform someone you meet, you can also have somebody in mind. Somebody that you knew, that person, somebody. It could be 2 years ago you knew the person, 3 years ago, could be your sibling. Someone said, where is this guy? You must be in this meeting. So there is inviting people as, "Hi, how are you doing? What's your name?" "I'm Kevin. I like you. Are we together?" That you met the person afresh, then you invite, are we together, into this assembly of the saints. There is also you going after the persons you already know. Philip found Nathanael. Barnabas went and searched for Saul. Are we together? You see those precepts in the scriptures. Go look for him. To go look for this person. To go look for this person. What happened? Abraham will go and bring Saul back from a backsliding state. He went to bring him back. You see many texts of scriptures like that. Are we together? So if you're a non-worker here, ensure by evening today, 8, 9, 10 p.m. ensure before then, you have registered for the conference. Prayerfully. And as you register, ensure you now have others. So as you get others and you talk to them about, "Come on, there's this meeting I'd like you to attend. And this, God's word will be taught. You're going to be blessed." You don't need to say too much. As you have those details, you communicate it to the cell leader. Or you communicate it to the person through which you had gotten the registration link. Or at best, send out the link to the person. Let the person register. And when you're getting people to register, ensure you follow up. Don't just send the link, ensure you follow up. You might forget. Get them to register. What are we doing? We are bringing in as many people. Are we together? Camp meeting is a feast. So we bring in as many people into the meeting to be immersed in God's holy word, fire, and the atmosphere of God's spirit. And their lives will not remain the same. We're believing God. Towards the meeting, I'm fasting and praying because I trust God. God's word will be taught and the things of the spirit will be in express manifestation. The sick are going to be healed. Invite the sick to come meeting. Invite the sick of different kind of sicknesses. Bring them over into the camp meeting. We'll get the sick healed. Some of you are going to seek healed for the first time in camp meeting. You're going to see it. And you're going to be emboldened to go out there and heal the sick. Are we together? I know we say God is a healer, but there's something about seeing him healed. Are we together? Get people into the camp meeting. Anyone you're not sure they are following God's plan for their lives, get them in. What if I have Muslims? Get them into the camp meeting. We can get them saved first. Are we together? And then get them over. As long as a human being has one head, are we together? If they have two heads, don't bring them. If they have one head, bring them over into the community. And we trust and believe God for a glorious meeting ahead. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed in today's service? Have you been blessed in today's service? Alright, let's just lift up our hands and give God praise.